Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And right now we have more on that breaking news happening out of Myanmar. A cyclone hit there overnight. It was a 10-hour storm, apparently. And now the state media is reporting that the death toll has risen to almost 4,000 people, with another 3,000 people missing. Joining us now is the BBC's Daniel Griffith. Daniel, can you tell us what you know now?
Well, I'm in Bangkok, in the neighboring country of Thailand, and really the full scale of this cyclone that tore through the south of Burma on Saturday, the full scale of it is only now coming to light, days after it hit the southern regions, the Irrawaddy Delta region in the south, and also one of the main cities of Rangoon. The country's state media saying that nearly 4,000 people were killed by the cyclone. They're saying another 3,000 are missing. And interestingly, state television is also reporting that as many as 10,000 people may have died in the city of Bogolay, although those reports have not been independently confirmed.
Because, Daniel, essentially five Burma regions have been declared disaster zones. And I understand at this point the junta that runs the country, a very closed country, is actually asking for international help.
Well, the scale of the disaster means that really international aid agencies want to get involved. They've certainly said they want to get involved. The United Nations already saying that hundreds of thousands of people are now homeless, many of them with no clean drinking water. And of course, rescue workers have still to get to some of the more remote districts that are cut off from the outside world. So there may be many more people who are without homes today who have no access to clean drinking water. As you say, the Burmese authorities have declared five areas the worst hit areas, disaster zones, and really aid agencies are now working to try to get essential supplies, plastic sheeting for people to live under, food, cooking stoves so they can cook some food through to some of these parts of the countries that have really been worst hit by this cyclone.
Daniel, you know, it's probably premature to speculate on this, but I'm wondering, the Myanmar regime, of course, has not been known for its political progressivism. Is it possible that the international cooperation from this disaster could possibly give some clues on whether reform is even possible in Myanmar? Certainly, the isolation is one of the vulnerabilities to this country to natural disasters like this.
I think it's just simply far too early to say. I think at this stage, I imagine, although obviously I can't speak for the Burmese authorities, but I imagine that they're simply trying to focus on getting through this disaster, on trying to meet the needs of people who have been displaced, who have been left with nothing. At the same time, however, it's very interesting to note that the authorities say they're still going to go ahead with this referendum on this controversial constitution over the weekend. That's been a very controversial constitution. Some critics say that the constitution may give the army much more power. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see that despite this cyclone, the authorities are still saying they're going to go ahead with that constitutional referendum, although I would imagine that many people who've lost everything will want to focus all their attention on trying to rebuild their homes and, of course, rebuild their lives.
Thank you, Daniel Griffith. Indeed. We're going to have to leave it there. More to come on the story and the cyclone in Myanmar,
where there are 4,000 believed dead, according to state media. More later.